depression, paranoia, schizophrenia. They're seen as scary words and even more frightening realities. Does our fear of even talking about mental illness keep us and those around us from getting help? African Americans in the U.S. facing mental health issues aren't very likely to get therapy or medical support. We continue our month-long series on mental health with a look at the ways Black communities are getting over the stigma of therapy. Joining our conversation, Janice Sanchez. She's a psychology professor at Old Dominion University and the author of The First Session with African Americans, A Step-by-Step Guide, and Laverne Williams, a community outreach educator for the Mental Health Association in New Jersey and a deaconess at Union Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me start with you, Janice. A lot of Black folks aren't very likely to get medical help for mental illness or therapeutic help. Can you tell me what are the roots of the distrust?
Sure. There's a great deal of stigma attached with seeking mental health services for African Americans. It takes a long time before they're willing to acknowledge that they have a problem. And typically, once they acknowledge the problem, they do not want to go for formal help. They will sometimes talk to their minister and they will get advice. And one of the things that's helped me in my practice is when we have ministers who actually encourage clients to seek out psychological services. I think people really feel that there's something wrong with them. And there's really this attitude of we don't want to air dirty laundry to the wider public. There's a sense of shame about talking about psychological problems.
Laverne, some people say that they just hold on through church, through prayer, through other spiritual practices. How important has that been? And is there any downside to people's reliance on you know, religion? That's a very touchy question in some ways, isn't it?
Absolutely. A lot of times, unless you admit that you have a problem, you cannot get any healing. And so going to your pastor and or the clergy person, if they have not had psychological training, they could be doing you a disservice. And so that's why the Pews program is helping pastors and lay clergy identify persons in their congregations who may be at risk of or have a psychological problem to be able to refer them to the proper services in the community.
You mentioned the group that you founded, Promoting Emotional Wellness and Spirituality, Pews, but what do you actually do?
It's in three parts, actually. The first step is to acknowledge that a faith community would like to have a presentation, and we start with a video and a PowerPoint presentation, and the video was entitled Anything But Crazy, African American Spirituality and Emotional Wellness. And we sort of meet people where they are. We start with grassroots myths that are out there and try to see what people have been brought up to believe. After that, the second time we come back into that faith community, we bring professionals with us because we want professionals to feel comfortable with what is happening in some of our faith communities, but also for the faith communities to see that perhaps the psychiatrist or psychologist is not the big bad boogeyman. And then the third step, we tailor information based on what the congregation wants. For example, some persons have more elderly in it, so we may talk about elderly and depression. Some congregations may have more single parenting. So it depends on what that congregation wants.
You came to this work because of, an experience in your own family. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I'm the last of eight children, so I'm from a very large family. And the girls were very close. And my sister, second sister who passed away, when she was having, she had a terminal illness and she just was in denial through the whole process. And because I wasn't able to talk to her about it, I started internalizing it so much that I started having panic attacks and depression. And I would be riding down the parkway. And unfortunately, my hands would shake and I would break out in a cold sweat. And I knew that was not normal, but I couldn't stop myself. Because I work for the Mental Health Association, I knew that I should seek some help, but I didn't really know who to go to because there's not a lot of African Americans in this field. And for me, actually, I went to a phone book and I ended up looking at a psychologist's name. Her last name was the same as mine, Williams. So I called her up. She told me she was Caucasian and that I have a problem with that. But at that point, I just wanted to feel better. So I went to see her, and it worked out very well for me. But I know a lot of times the issue in the Black community is that people want to go to someone who looks like them and who they feel will understand their culture.
Janice, your book really deals head on with this. It's called The First Session with African Americans. And It sounds like it's targeting people who will be therapists for Black Americans, whether or not those therapists are actually Black. Is that what you're doing?
Well, basically, this book is really designed to help capture the experience. It's for therapists, and it's for clients, it's for educators. But the important message is really just what your guest said, is that we really believe that African Americans can receive help from a variety of therapists of different ethnic backgrounds. But we really point out why it might be important for them to be very adamant about asking if there's an African-American therapist that is available. We think that the reason why African-Americans come for help vary. I live in the Hampton Roads area. We have a lot of military individuals, and they do have insurance coverage. But there are many communities where people don't have insurance. And typically, we find that African-Americans try to struggle with their problems. They don't want to ask for help, but many people get to the point where they have to ask for help. It may be a case their child is having educational problems and may be retained. It may be relationship problems. It may be the loss of a job. It may be violence. It may be drug abuse. But, you know, African Americans have problems the same way that other populations do. But because of various economic factors, because of the alienation that we receive from our communities, many African Americans feel very alone, and it's very difficult for them to ask for help. So what we try to do is to make sure they know that there are African American therapists, or they can ask for an African American therapist to find out if the therapist can help them with their presenting problems.
So you think that it's really better, easier, more seamless of a transition to work if you're a Black person with a Black therapist?
I would say that it really depends upon the individual. I think for many people, it's going to be very important to have a client who looks like you. There's some individuals that I've worked with who did not want to have an African-American therapist because they have been brainwashed to believe that if someone's African-American, they don't have the same credentials, they're not as intelligent, they're not going to be able to provide the same quality of services. So we have some individuals who only want to see Black therapists. There's some individuals who don't want to see a Black therapist. And there are a lot of people who are ambivalent. And I just take the perspective in a first session to lay out to the individual. I ask them to tell me what's happening, what their concern is. We chart out a possible plan for intervention. And then I leave it to the client to decide if I'm the right therapist that they would like to work with, or if they are not comfortable, I'm happy to make a referral.
I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We're continuing our conversation about African Americans and therapy. It's part of our month-long series on mental health, and with me is Janice Sanchez. She's a psychology professor at Old Dominion University, and Laverne Williams, an associate and a community outreach educator for the Mental Health Association in New Jersey. So welcome back. And, you know, Janice, let me just dig a little deeper into this whole issue of Black person, Black therapist, white therapist. It sounds like, as with everything, it's complicated. Everything having to do with race is complicated.
Yes.
How do you walk into a room and make an evaluation as a client of whether or not someone understands you, not just in a general sense, but also culturally?
I think that if I'm a client coming to therapy, the most important thing is that the therapist understands who I really am. And I think that clients have different opinions about their racial identification. For some individuals, when they come for therapy, their race is very much tied to the particular problem. As Mrs. Williams says, sometimes your race may not be. You may be struggling with depression, or you may be struggling with anxiety, or you may have a work situation in which your race doesn't really have an impact on the therapy. So the first thing that I think a client has to be clear on is they need to understand their sense of identity and whether or not it requires having a therapist of their background. I think if you're coming for a child, if you're coming for a partner, if you're coming for a situation that you don't think is really tied to your ethnic identity, then I think it's fine to have a different therapist. You might be coming because there's an emergency. When there's an emergency, where there's some sort of a crisis situation, you really don't care about the race. You just want to get help. But I think if you're talking about getting in touch with who you are, if you're talking about an issue in terms of relationships, I think that your race may be very salient. And I think that individuals who are dealing with relationship issues, for instance, they really might want to have a therapist who understands their cultural background, who understands what it's been like to be African American. And even when I use that term, I'm talking about so many different people. Some identify as Black, some as African American. So I think it really depends upon what you think about yourself and how you want to communicate that to the therapist in terms of how much focus you want to spend on your ethnic identity.
Laverne, you made a decision to go to someone who wasn't Black, but what this all calls up is, what does it really mean for someone to understand you? In some ways, a therapeutic relationship is really about, does this person understand me? Or, you know, if you're a client or, you know, if you're trying to advise someone else to get help, it's like, are you being heard? And how did you make a decision about whether or not you were being heard?
The panic attacks was coming so fast and furious, I didn't care who it was. You could have been purple. Just give me the help that I needed. And I'm just so excited to hear that Sanchez is really doing assessing persons in the African-American community, because, again, it's just about awareness. When I think about 15 years ago, when HIV/AIDS was, everyone was afraid of that issue. With education and with training, people are now able to hug someone who has AIDS and go visit them in hospitals without any problems. And that's the same thing about mental illness. Until we start getting the word out, which the Mental Health Association does, and letting people feel comfortable about it, I like to say that mental illness is not a casserole disease. If someone had a heart attack, or if they have diabetes, or if they have cancer, people will flock over their houses with casserole and, oh, what can I do to help you? When you say mental illness, people just back up, and it's all about education. And the last thing I do before I leave here, though this side of the world, I'm going to make sure awareness is raised, and particularly in the African-American community. The only shame is not getting help.
When you think about the people you've helped, Laverne, help connect with professionals, with support, what are you most proud of?
I am most proud that people can come up to me and really talk about the issues that they have. And for example, when I do a presentation at a faith community, I can almost spot somebody in the room who I know is maybe battling with something, whether it's for themselves or a loved one, and they may not say too much during the presentation, but they will come up afterwards and give me their phone number or ask for more information. And if they have to do it on the side and where they think others aren't watching or hearing, that's fine, because they're asking for it. And so now I can't tell you how many persons in my faith communities have come up with me and shared problems and directing them that they'll be able to talk about it without the shame and the stigma involved. I just think that's wonderful.
Janice, should you go into therapy, if you choose to go into therapy, with a game plan like, okay, I'm fighting with my husband. I want the fights to end. I want to decide if, you know, I should do this, this, and this. I mean, is it about really practical things? Because there's this whole idea of Freudian analysis as you lie back on the couch and talk about your childhood until you expire.
Right.
You know, what are we really talking about?
I think most therapists today are very solution-focused therapists. It's very helpful for an individual to come into therapy and to say, this is the problem, this is where we're at, I'm not comfortable, I want to make some changes, and I'm here for you to help with that process. So I think that if you have a good conceptualization as to what your concern is, I think it's going to help the therapy to go even faster. I think that psychoanalysis is still available, and that there may be individuals who have the time to really delve deeper into one aspect of their personality. But I think most African Americans that I see are really very focused on having a very specific problem when they come in. And many of them really think it's like going to a doctor's office, that they'll come in and in that first session, I'll lay out for them how the problem can be resolved. So I think that my job is to, you know, to speak on the radio, to speak live, but to let people know that there are places where they can go to get help with their problems. But I tell them that usually they're going to need to come for more than one session. We know that 40% of all individuals who come for therapy never return for another session. And African Americans, that's even higher. So one of the things I try to communicate is that we're here, we're able to help. We just need you to come in and talk. And I try to take away the stigma, that there's not a stigma associated with coming for mental health. It's like going to the doctor. It's like going to get any other kind of help. You would not stop if you were having some sort of a physical crisis. And we try to explain to people, if you're having an emotional or psychological problem, it's very normal for you to come and see us.
All right. Well, Janice, Laverne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Janice Sanchez is the author of The First Session with African Americans, A Step-by-Step Guide, and she's a professor of psychology at Old Dominion University. She joined me from member station WHRO in Norfolk, Virginia. And Laverne Williams is a community outreach educator for the Mental Health Association in New Jersey and a deaconess at Union Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey. She joined me from member station WBGO in Newark, New Jersey.